gonna be dangerous now because I'm not having my watch here. I might not get up tonight. Praise God. But isn't it wonderful to just love one another? And don't forget that that's the greatest commandment of Jesus Christ. And that has been our emphasis all the time since this church was planted. And we have always desired that every one of us, from myself right down to the leadership, right down to the members of the church, would have the same spirit of love, the same spirit of understanding, and same spirit of Barnabas, and seek to encourage, seek to lift one another up in the Lord. And we will look very briefly this afternoon at the Word of God. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Your grace and your mercy are abundantly showered upon our lives. Father, we thank you that every promise you have in the Word works, O God. We thank you, O God, that your Word continues to be multiplied in our hearts and our minds. And truly we can say that the Word prevailed mightily and grows strong in our life, O God. We thank you, O God, that this living Word, Lord, will cause us to be living epistles in you. And we ask, O God, that your mercy will be abundantly showered upon our lives. As the psalmist, we could say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We pray, O God, that you multiply and increase our understanding in your commandments, in what you have asked us to do. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I have prepared for ministering on the mind of Christ, but the sermon has been changed. So let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we want to see the heartbeat of God as we look at the heartbeat of Jesus in his prayer to our Heavenly Father. See, there is a goal and there is an objective that Jesus had when he came. Dying for our sins, healing us and bringing us eternal life is only a part of that huge thing that God wants us to move into. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, in verse 20, it says here, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you give me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now in verse 21, we see here in the scriptures the goal of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, we see the proclamation of oneness. Number two, in verse 22, glory. Number three, in verse 23, perfection. Now we will never have perfection without going through all those things. Number one, we must learn to be one. Number two, the glory comes. Number three, perfection is brought forth. So, number one, learning to be one. Before we can be one with one another, we must be one with God. It is impossible to be truly one with another one until we are right with God. There is no true oneness. There is only a carnal form of what we call oneness or bonding without a relationship with God. From the time that man, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, there was no more oneness. immediately after the fall in the book of Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were quarreling. God said to the man, "Why do you eat it?" The man said, "The woman." See, there's disagreement. Now for the first time, they're pointing fingers at one another. The man, Adam, points to the woman, and the woman points to the snake. The snake had no one to point to. On the President of the United States desk, you know, when there was the earlier president, there's a little sign that says, "The buck stops here." The meaning is, people will pass the blame right down, and when you reach him, there's no other place that he goes further on. He stops there. He has to stop somewhere. So the blame was placed by the man on the woman, and the woman placed it on the snake, and the snake looked up and didn't know what to say. The buck stopped there. But all these things happen only after man's relationship with God was spoiled, was broken. And all through generation after generation, man has tried to unite with one another in a carnal way. But the unity became unity to fight. Unity to fight against another group. One race against another. One tribe against another. One nation against another. Even though there was unity against somebody else. There was no true unity. It was a false pseudo-unity. And to generation after generation, what you would call unity, the man calls unity, is not truly unity. It's artificial. It's because they were united because there was something to fight. It's just like before the Greek Empire arose. It is said that before Alexander the Great Father united the whole of Greece, that all the different Greek towns and tribes were always fighting among one another. Always fighting and fighting and fighting. And they never rose up. Suddenly, one guy was a better fighter than all the rest, got all the others. And then, every time when they have an attack from outside, that's when they united together. And they fought together, and they won. And after they won, they fought with one another again. The unity is not permanent. It's only united to fight. One group after another. And from that time onwards was born racial problems, was born all kinds of problems, men and women problems, all kinds of relationship problems, was born in sin when man was separated from God. That is why there was no answer. There was no answer for nearly 4,000 years. Fight after fight after fight. Even though the father says, you know, care for one another. But there was fighting. Until nearly 4,000 years later, an angel came down and met some shepherds and said that there will be peace on earth and goodwill to all men. When Jesus Christ came in the flesh, oh, I tell you, the angels sang. Even the shepherds said they look up to heaven. For a moment, God gave them a vision of heaven. And they heard the angels singing when Jesus came into this world. The angels were singing, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill to all men." Jesus came. Lived, died, resurrected, rose, and ascended on high. And before he left, he has not forgotten that goodwill message that he came to bring. Peace, not to one man, not to one tribe, not to one race, not to one nation. Peace to all men. And he says to all his disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you." Those words were spoken on his last night on the planet Earth before his crucifixion. In the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 13, as they gathered together around the table, one of the worst things that were going to happen was going to happen, the crucifixion. The disciples were going to be scattered, divided. Jesus was going to be separated from them for a moment. Judas was also in their midst. And Jesus Christ took the Lord's Supper, shared with them, and he gave this important message. He says in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you." I tell you, when he spoke that, it was a cry from his heart. Because just a few weeks back, when they were coming to Jerusalem, the disciples were fighting who was greatest among them. One wanted to be greater than the other, and they cannot because they both don't want to be servants. Pride was already happening. It must have laid heavily in Jesus' heart. And as he spoke those words out, he was looking at a bunch of disciples who had been fighting and fussing and dividing among themselves. But oh, it flowed from his heart. He was trying to tell the disciples, "Don't you understand why I came? Don't you understand why I'm here? It's not to set each one of you up." The cry of his heart was flowing out when he says, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another," he says, "as I have loved you." He did not ask us to love without showing us how. He was not a hypocrite. He did not tell us what you must do. Do what I tell you to do, don't do what I do. He never said that. The Pharisees did. But he has shown them the pattern. He has given them his life. He has given everything. And he says, "As I have done to you, so do one to another. Love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another." And the next verse is a powerful evangelistic message. There is no evangelism if you take out love. You could put all the programs, you could put all the planning, you could put all the skills and the talents, and you take out the love of God, there is no evangelism. There is only good works done in the flesh. There's no evangelism without love. And in everything that we do in this life, you could give your body to be burned. You could sell all you have and give it away. You could do 10,000 things. But if it was not motivated, born of the love of God, the Apostle Paul cried out in 1 Corinthians 13, saying that it is nothing. And Paul, in crying out, says, there is faith, there is hope, there is love. But he says, the greatest is love. So there is no oneness before we have a oneness with God. Why were the disciples not one with one another? Because they were all not having the same vision as Jesus. They did not see what he sees. They did not feel what he smells. So they could not love like he loved. He did not say, "Love one another, Pusta." Say, "As I have loved." It was a new commandment. The old commandment says, "Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength."
and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the old commandment. Love your neighbor as thyself is an Old Testament commandment. The new commandment is love one another as Jesus loved. It is different because now the ability to love does not rest in myself. If I have to love my neighbor as myself, my capability of loving is dependent on my capability to love myself. But it's no different. It is love your neighbor as Jesus loved your neighbor, and as Jesus has loved you, so love your neighbor. It's a different commandment now. It's not dependent on Jesus in me. Hallelujah. Christ in me be glorified. It's Christ in us who loves. That's why the disciples seated around the table, we say, Lord, me love that guy. Me love this person here. I mean, we just had a quarrel, Lord. James and John had a quarrel with the rest of the disciples. Lord, give me somebody else. Lord says, love one another. And the only way to love one another is, number one, to first love God. If we love God, and we really do, it's easy to love others. Why? It is impossible to love God and not be changed. To love people. I don't know what God people serve, but the concept of God in people's life is not the actual picture God is. How do I know? Because the God the Bible talks about is a God of love. So I don't understand people if they say they love God and they are not loving. I don't understand. Maybe their God is different, but they're too strong. Maybe their vision and their picture of God is not the actual picture of God that is in the Bible. The picture of God is affected, tinted by their tradition, by their knowledge, by their level. And so what the Bible says, this is God, and they say, this is God. And the vision of God is a different God. Not the Bible God. It's just like many people have a different vision of Jesus. You know, make sure that the vision of Jesus that we have is the one the Bible talks about, not something else. So when we love God, we are able to love one another. It comes so naturally. The more you love God, the more you love one another. In the book of 1 John, please, let's turn to 1 John, chapter 4, verse 11, verse 9, 10, 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Says we are able to love one another because God has first loved us. How did God love us? He loved us so much that according to Romans chapter 8, He loved us so much that He gave His best. Now I know what some of them here felt when they came out and we prayed for their needs. I mean, it was lovely to be prayed for, but I know what exactly it is to feel. And suddenly you say, let the body of Christ bless you. The embarrassment, the discomfort, which is what I felt. I mean, when you're collecting an offering for me, I felt the same thing. Why do we feel that way? Because even though you may live till 1,000 years, it is always fresh, refreshing, and special to be loved. It is always fresh. It is not something in the past. It's a fresh feeling to be loved and to receive love. You could live 1,000 years, 10,000 years. But I can tell you, every time God's love comes into your room, every time you feel that warm embrace of God's Spirit around you, you will do like what most of us do all the time. We cry. Because we say, God, we have never tasted such love. No one loves unconditionally like you. And every time that happens, I mean, if it can happen another million times, each time you taste the love of God, I will guarantee you, it will still feel the same. We still feel like a little child that God takes in His arms and just fills you with His love. Because love is so special. It's fresh when God loves it. And that is where we have to learn. We learn to accept His love. See, don't we accept naturally? No. No. We do not. Even though the Father's heart is reaching out, we are frightened of Him. We are afraid of His love. How did it all start? When Adam and Eve fell into sin, clothed in fig leaves, and when they hear the sound of God in the garden, the Adam and Eve that used to run to God and say, God, God, where are you? I miss you. That same Adam and Eve who used to look forward to God, who used to cry to God and fellowship like the same days, my God and I, we walk the field together. My God and I, we walked through the Garden of Eden together. When Adam fell into sin, it was no more the same Adam. When he heard the sound of God, they ran. Even though the father's heart was reaching and saying, where are my children? I love them. Where are they? They ran because now because of sin, they find it difficult to just receive love. We want to earn our love. We want to be good enough to receive love. After sin came, we want to earn love. But the love of God, you can work for 10 billion years and you could not even earn one drop of it. Because of the wages of sin were rightfully ours. Death and eternal death. And I can imagine as Adam and Eve hid, when God says, where art thou, Adam? Adam, Adam, where art thou? He was not saying it with an angry tone, although he knew what had happened. It was a cry of the father's heart that says, Adam, Adam, where art thou? It was a cry of a God who has separated from Him the only love that He had for His creation. It was a cry of a mother having the child wrench and pull from the mother. It was a cry of the love of the Father, heart of God. And Adam did not want to receive God's love. And even though he don't understand God's love, God took that animal, sacrificed it, and He gave it, even though they didn't understand His love anymore. They didn't understand, nor did they receive the kind of love He could give them. And all through generation after generation, God's love has been reaching forth. Until one day he sent his son. And when his son came to love. Jesus didn't come to kill. He didn't kill anybody. In fact, he healed. Jesus didn't commit any crime. He was innocent. He blessed the multitude. He blessed the people. Even though Jesus came just to love, they, because of their sin, rejected love. Not only did they reject it, the heart of man is so hard that they not only reject love, they kill love. They took Jesus, a symbol of love. Not only cannot we stand, not only have they reached a point where they cannot stand love, they want to kill any vector of love. Kill any goodness that is there left. Because man's heart is so evil. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. I mean, to reject it is one thing. By Jesus' time, men have gone so terrible, not only they reject, they persecute, they go against, and finally, they crucify love. And the rid of love. The only thing that came out from Jesus was more love. He looked down from the cross and said, Father, they don't know what they are doing. They have reached such an evil state, they don't know what they are doing. But in the end, the love of God prevailed. Such is the power of love. You could take love and you could kill it and it will resurrect. You could take love and you reject it, slap it, and it will come back again. You could take the love of God, trample it on the floor, cut it into a billion pieces, it will go back together and still say, I love you. That's the awesome, majestic power of God's love. And every one of us have a little bit of that in our unrenewed mind. We find it difficult to receive love. And God understands. He says, that's all right. Just let me live inside you. And I'll show you what it is. And all he asks of us is this. Just let Jesus come in. And let his love fill us. The same Jesus. He says, all right, that's okay. They don't understand my love. I'll show them what, how it will flow. If they will just accept my son, I will begin that work in their life. So the love of God has been flowing for eternity. Flowing from generation to generation. Under this day. Because number one, we have learned, before the glory comes, the love must come. I'll close this first point with a reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. It says here, verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all the family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through you his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, my friends, you may have Jesus living in your heart. But the question that we ask of you this day is, are you rooted and grounded in love? How great is the love of God rooted in your life? Are all your actions born of love? Are all your planning born out of love or selfishness or sin? Are we rooted and grounded in love? This portion of the Bible, Ephesians, was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was like one of those who were not fully understanding or comprehending of the love of God.
She saw the love that was flowing into Stephen's life. And when he saw all those things, he don't understand. He saw the Christians. He knew this group didn't commit crime. They didn't have any riots. They didn't do anything wrong. In fact, if there's anything they did, they went out and hid in the name of this Jesus, whom they say is still alive. And Paul cannot stand that. Like the evil devil, you must kill love. And he went up killing the disciples, imprisoning them, taking them, until Stephen came. And he was much there, they were mastermind behind him, held all their clothes and told them, go for it, kill him. That guy didn't murder anybody. The only guilt if he had any was to share about the love of Jesus. Kill him. They stoned him in Acts 7. He died. But when he died, he was so much like Jesus that he looked up to heaven and he said, do not lay this sin against him. That same love is a lie. You cannot kill it. When it gets into a person, it is alive. It lives again and again and again to people. The same spirit of Jesus. They must have been impressed upon his mind. And then he was breathing threats. He was like the devil. He was breathing threats and murder on his way to Damascus. One sentence from the master. The master said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he has another sentence in Acts 9 that says, it is hard for you to kick against the prince. He was saying that if you persecute love, you destroy yourself. To kick against the prince, pricks are something razor sharp. And he says, you're kicking against it. You're saying, Paul, you're destroying yourself. The more you go against love, you have to be more evil. Can you see that? And the more someone behaves in love, and you still get more angry, you become more evil. Kicking against the prince. You have to be more evil to react against that kind of love. Either you'll be won by that love, or you become evil. But that one sentence from the Lord, one sentence, one word of love from the master of love. And he that was breathing threats and murder was melted. The power of the love of Jesus. The same man who was so evil is the same man who in Ephesians 3 says, the love of God, the width, the length, the depth, the height, that's the love of God that we're talking about. So marvelous. And the same man who went against others, called Paul, now he's willing to go and love others the way Jesus loved him. Because he had met the fullness of God's love. And here in Ephesians 3, he says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There you have it again. Number one, we must be one with God and with one another. And then number two, you will see the glory of God in your life. My friends, if in your devotional life the sign hangs spiritually above your door that says, Ichabod, the glory has departed. Your Bible reading looks dry. Your prayer time looks hard. Your Christian life is a struggle. The freshness is no more there. You feel the dryness of the heat of the desert. When you look at your Bible, there's no more interest.
There's no more desire for God. Why, oh why?
Because when love is gone, it's Ichabod. The glory is departed.
There is no glory without love. Your relationship starts getting messy. And you begin to allow bitterness and hurt and strife to come, my friend. You're heading for Ichabod, like Eli who lost the ark.
Preserve love. Love those who curse you. Bless them.
Love those who do evil. Never allow one iota of hatred in your heart.
And when love rises from your life, get ready. Because the second blessing Jesus said will happen.
And the glory which you have given me, I gave them my glory.
Now you know why the devil attacks love and prevents people from getting love. Because he finds it hard to attack the glory. You can't see it.
So before the glory comes, let's get love
and stop it.
Put strife, put division in the body, put envy, put all these things in the body and destroy the body, the love in the body,
and it will destroy the glory of God.
But the opposite is true. When we learn this key in this truth, we go for love. Go after love with all your heart. Walk in love. And somewhere along the line of obedience, you're knocked down, you get up again and you say the love of God still flows. You're shot down, you get up again and you say the love of God still lives. I have died, is the love of God will live. They crucify you, you rise again, not because of you, because the love cannot be killed. And you press on and you press on. In hard times, in difficulty, you press on, you walk in love, and you walk in love, and you walk in love.
One day, the heavens open and the glory of God shines. And you will never be the same. Everything you do has a brokenness, but it is more special than that.
Everything you do, people know when they talk to you, there's something different.
There's the glory of God in your life.
You carry a presence of God. When you talk to some people, you realize you're not talking to people who are broken and contrite in spirit. Why?
They don't understand love.
But you talk to those who have walked in love, you notice something different.
There is the presence of the glory of God. In everything they do, in everything they say, there is the glory of God upon them. Because love brings glory. All over the Bible, in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when they were one, making one sound, the glory of God came down.
Every time you see that where the Bible says they were one in the Lord,
the glory of God comes.
Oh, God is looking for the glory. Looking to place His glory on our lives.
And the best is yet to come. Number 3. When the glory comes and fills you, perfection is restored. The same perfection that God made this world to be comes into your life, comes into your family, comes into your financial life. Only perfection reigns.
Comes into your body, your health, your family, your business. Only perfection reigns. That's not a sign of imperfection.
Why? Because it's now the temple of God. Perfection reigns. And that's not all. One day when we get back to heaven, with our spirit nature in God, with our souls
perfected in God, and with a new perfect body, based in that perfect state, we can live eternally with the personification of perfection, Almighty God. You must understand what God is like, my friend. No imperfection can stand in the presence of God. All imperfection is equal to sin. Thank God for the blood. But one day, as we walk in love and let the glory of God fill our life, you will have what Jesus said in John 17. You will be just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit fellowshipping together. You become a part of them to fellowship with the Trinity. Because only perfection can fellowship. Look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are so perfect. Their fellowship is so perfect. And one day, when we are restored to perfection, in that rest, God's presence, God and you are so one. When people look at you, they cannot tell the difference between God and you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because the fullness of God is there. Everything you think, everything you say, one day when we all get back to heaven, we will be restored to the original state in perfection, which we have a part and portion today. But oh, we long for perfection. Even this world cries for perfection. And we will be perfected in the love of God. And right now, this day, perfection starts operating. It is starting in your heart. Let it take control of your mind, your emotions, your will. Let it control your body. Let it control your possessions. Let it control your business. Let it control your family. Let this love flow. Let Jesus be glorified in our lives. For this is the whole purpose of God. That we be conformed to the full image of God. We were predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. What is the image of Jesus? Perfect love. Perfect God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we pray that your grace and your mercy would abundantly pour through our lives. We pray, O God, that you cause us to see the vision of Jesus, the vision of the church perfected. O God, there's so much more of the bride of Jesus to be perfected. We pray that you perfect the bride of Jesus. We pray, O God, that when you look down upon our lives from your heavens above, you could say, here is a group of people who keep my commandments to love one another as I have loved them. For to know you is to love, O God. Father, we pray that you establish love in our lives so that we could experience your glory and so that we could be perfected in you, spirit, souls, and bodies. We worship you at this time, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's all rise together. Sing that song, A New Commandment. One for another.
to sing that song again. Love you to examine your heart and your life before God. If while you're standing right now and you could say, I have something against somebody, remember the words of Jesus. He said, get right first before you place a gift on the altar. And that person may not even be here. So the best that we know how right now to do is to have you to come right up and make it right with God. And have a covenant relationship with Him to say you will get it right when you get back. Could be your loved ones, could be your parents, could be some person you never really know in your work. You have bad relationships and it's stifling love in your life. We have to repent. It's a call to give up the reactions of the flesh and the world that are natural to our unrenewed mind and allow that supernatural love to come. And some of you say, I cannot do it by myself. We understand. Neither can we. Neither can anyone on this earth do that. Only one person, Jesus Christ. Let Him live in you. We're not asking you to love. We're asking you to let Jesus love to you. And let there be a breakthrough of love in your life today. Right now. Even as we pray, if you have not known this Jesus we talk about and you want to know Him as Lord and Savior today, come right now as you sing that song. Come to my left. We will lead you to Him. And others of you who need prayer in that area, come right up. We'll pray with you right now. It belongs to you. Some of us, we are not having our answers to prayer because our relationship with God is not right and with others are not right. Perhaps there's an error in your life, you're not getting answers. Could it be? It may not always be, but could it be your relationship? They are blocking your prayers from being answered. You never know. But it's always good to get right with God and with each other. Those to be born again, come to my left right now. Tell all men, you are my disciples. If you have loved. Anyone who has not known Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you want to know Him, you have never prayed a prayer to know Jesus, come right now. If you see me, your friends, ask your friend to come to you to the front right now, to my left, where we pray with you, those to be born again. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Salvation, born again on my left there. Thank you, Jesus. Born again. Ready to be born again. Born again. Any others want to be born again? Come and join our sister, the sister here who says you want to be born again. Right now. Close your eyes. The presence of God is here. You come face to face with Jesus of Nazareth. You have heard that He's the Jesus of Nazareth who is powerful. Yes, He is. No doubt. You have heard that He is a healer. No doubt He is. You have heard that He is a Savior. No doubt He is. But let me tell you, the greatest story is that this Jesus is the greatest lover of the whole universe. And He loves and He loves and He loves like no other. And let His same love flow to you today. Right now. Right now, begin to just release your feelings to God. Release your hardship. Release your bitterness. Release things that are causing you to get angry. Things that are causing you to be hurt. Release it to God right now. And let His love flow through your life. The more you are hurt, the greater potential for greater love to come in. Because the greater you are hurt, the greater you are persecuted, the greater things happen to you, the more opportunity to exercise a greater measure of love. If you were hurt a little bit, then you only need a little bit of love to overcome. If you were hurt tremendously, you will need a great large amount of love to come. So it's an opportunity for God's love to flow to your life in a greater measure.
Lift your right, everybody, your hands to God right now. Those who minister together with me, come right up to the front here. Help me lay hands and transmit love to these people. And as the love of God fills you, you will begin to know the glory of God coming upon your life, which He is coming upon you right now while you're standing there. As God loves flow to you, His glory is coming upon your life right now. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, let the love of God flow. Oh, let the love of God flow. Oh, let the love of God flow. Those of you are here, I want to help you to pray to this Jesus, to help you contemplate, close your eyes, and repeat these words after me and mean it with all your heart. And the same Jesus we talk about will come into your heart right now. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sake. Jesus, today I receive your love. Thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross to die for my sin. Because you love me, I don't want to run from your love anymore. I don't want to run from your love anymore. Jesus, today I accept your love. I receive you into my heart, into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart, for coming into my life right now, to live in me. And I'm born again. I'm saved. Your Holy Spirit now lives in me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm now your child. I have your peace. And all my sins are cleansed away. Thank you, Jesus. I see you such love. I see you such cleansing in my life. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. I believe in my heart and I confess in my mouth that you are Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. You are risen from the dead and I'm born again. God is now my Father. I am now His child. I am a part of the family of God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for taking me to be a part of your family. Thank you, Jesus, for living in my life. I give my life, my spirit, my soul, and my body to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Just remain there. We have people come and lay hands on you right now. And Mr. Dinkley, come and help minister to this. Come to the front here. Lay hands on this sister. Pray for them right now for the impartation of the Spirit of God right now over their life. Thank you, Jesus. Right now. That's right. The Spirit of God is flowing through your life, doing a work in your life right now. Wonderful, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, let your love flow, Lord. Let your grace flow, Lord. Let your mercy be great, oh God. Oh, let your mercy be great and be established in his heart and mind. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Let love flow, Lord. The love of God is flowing through you right now. Let it flow. Don't run away from his love. Don't resist his love. Don't be afraid of his love. Just accept his love. And just receive it and enjoy being bathed in the sun of his love. Oh, the love of God flowing through you right now. You will never be the same once you know the love of God. I tell you, you will never be the same when you know the love of God. Your life changes. Everything in you changes when you know the love of God. Let the love of God just flow. Oh, just let it flow to you. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Oh, God. Oh, I tell you, the Father is smiling down on us. The Father God loves us so much, He's so pleased that we have come to know His love. I tell you, the Father is so pleased when we have come to know His love. He has His special blessings on your life this day. Oh, when we walk in love, we please the Father. We thrill the Father heart of God. Oh, Let your love flow abundantly, O God. Let your love flow abundantly, O God. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Change and transform these lives, O God. Oh God, let there be a new group of people that move out this day. Feel afresh with your love, O Lord, to change the world with your love, O God. Lord, change and transform our being, Lord. Ora bahazi kibriyanda la. Ora bahazi kibriyanda la. Kibriyanda la bahazi kibriyanda la bahazi la. Rabbi Hashem, 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 Rabb